Okay, Tom Coburn, we're both from Oklahoma.
That's right.
Muskogee, Holdenville, and and I believe, for some reason, probably because I'm from Oklahoma, that people from the state feel the same way about a lot of things.
I think that's right. I think that's right.
You and I were talking a few minutes ago about debt. Yeah. And neither one of us like it. We don't like debt. And I've had a lot of experience with it. And every time I get in trouble, it's because debt has gotten me in trouble again. But you, Senator, from Muskogee, what county is that?
It's Muskogee County.
Muskogee County. Yeah. I'm from Hughes.
Yeah. I've been to Hughes a lot of times.
You know who's from Hughes? Senator now?
Inhofe?
Massachusetts.
Elizabeth.
Did you know she's from Wetumpka?
Oh, yeah, I knew. She was from Wetumpka. She still has family living in Oklahoma, but I don't know about her Native American connection.
She's not a Cherokee anymore than you and I are. Are you?
No, my wife is, though.
Okay.
My wife is.
But anyway, you were senator for 10 years, and you got cancer and beat it.
Yeah.
And
Three times.
You look great, but I've always been a fan of yours. But what do you think now? There's been so many changes. Thank God that the Lord let me hang around to see all the changes that have taken place, and there are going to be more take place. Unusual. And, you know, if I'd have died 10 years ago and you'd have come to heaven this morning, and I'd have said, Tom, bring me up to date, I don't know what happened, and you told me, I would wonder how a liar like you got in heaven. I wouldn't have believed what you'd have told me had happened to the United States, this world, and everything else. Okay, you talk.
We're the greatest republic there ever has been, but all of them die. Most of them murder themselves, and we're in the process of doing that, and we're doing it for a lot of reasons. You think about Congress. Why doesn't Congress work now? It doesn't work because we've had members of Congress now pick who's going to vote for them rather than the people who are the citizens pick their candidates, and we do that through gerrymandering. So what's happened is you get a congressional district that is now more and more conservative or more and more liberal, and if you represent that district, if you do something other than very, very conservative or other than very, very liberal, you get primaried the next time. Okay? So you have this guy that's basically a fiscal conservative, this one that's basically a liberal, that can usually work together and fix things out. But now that we've got these extreme districts that have been gerrymandered to hard right or hard left, there's no compromise because the number one goal most of the politicians are thinking about is how do I get reelected? How do I do it? So just through our gerrymandering process, we have really made a difference in the ability for people to compromise.
I can't believe that. I know Harry Reid, I know him, and he and I have been friends because he supported my natural gas bill. But I can't believe that he says some of the things he does about other members of the Senate and people in this country. I think everything can be managed by what you're talking about. You can have far right, far left, but can get together, work something out, and everything else. But we've gotten so we can't do that. I mean,
well, there's a difference in who's there, too. But
now we're down to leadership.
It's number one, most of the people there have never had real jobs. In the Senate, it's almost 70%. They've been in some type of political position their whole life. I mean, look at Harry Reid, prime example. He's never had a real job.
No,
And so what is their frame of reference? Their frame of reference is politics. It's not common sense. It's not hard work. They don't have to worry about earning a living. You know, it's everything else that everybody else in this country has to worry about every day, educating their kids, taking care of mom, doing the things that are necessary. Most of them don't experience. Plus, they have no real foundational experience in everyday life that is really hard knocks. The thing that makes you good is losing and getting back up and fighting again. That's what makes you good. And if you've never done that and you've never been there, then you don't have the insight with which to make critical judgments for our future. So when two-thirds of the Senate and over half the House have never done anything except politics, why would we expect anything other than a political expedient answer each time? And that's what we get. And that's why we have a government now that where the Congress has actually given up most of its power. They've ceded most of their power to the executive branch.
I couldn't believe Obama could do what he did, and then nobody ever blew a whistle out of Congress, said, hold it, you can't do that. I think I saw him do everything he wanted to.
Well, they did do it, but that tells you the other problem we have in our country. We have a real disproportionate coverage in the press. Every time he did something, we stood up and said, don't do that. You can't do that. But there's two problems with it. One, the press isn't going to cover us. They're going to cover him. So you never hear the objection. Number two is we don't have standing in the courts. One of the defects in our – one of the things I want to fix is if we have senators and congressmen and the president does something like the multiple things he's done through executive orders, they shouldn't have to prove injury to get standing in a court of law. They ought to be able to take him straight to the court and have the court make a decision, you exceeded your authority or you didn't. I mean, just think about what he's done on the immigration. Whether you agree with it or not, he's totally gone around what the law says on immigration. Now, that's been challenged.
Those actions on immigration, is it all because he's getting more people in here that will vote?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, who knows the motivation? The thing is they do want the Hispanics should be conservatives' dream. They're great people.
Oh, sure.
They're hardworking. They're people of faith. They're family-oriented people. But the whole point is he went around the law. Now, just in fact, the Supreme Court isn't going to take that up. We won't know anything on that till June. Well, he did it almost a year ago. So it takes a year. And then we had to find somebody that had injury, be able to prove injury, to be able to get standing to actually bring him to court. Because a senator doesn't have standing in front of the court on areas of actions that actually violate the Constitution. So the Congress has given up, and the courts routinely defer to agencies. They don't look at what we wrote. They look at what the agency, the power of the agency have given, and whatever the agency wants to do, the courts back them up. Well, that didn't, first of all, no member of Congress voted for all these rules and regulations coming out. So that's the other thing we want to do is we want to
say, what are you going to do about it? What can be done about it?
The great things that can be done about it is our founders knew this was going to happen. Colonel George Mason stood up 2 days before the Constitution.
You're going to your state deal.
No, well, I'm just going to talk about what can do. But they gave us a way to do it. He stood up and he said, do you ever know any time in history where a central government that had power voluntarily relinquished the power back to the people? And there is no place in history other than Cincinnatus after he saved Rome and maybe George Washington not taking a third term. Has anybody in history ever voluntarily given up their tremendous power over people? So we have to put something into the Constitution to allow the people and the states to fix that. And they did. That's called Article 5. But the problem's worse than that. Because in my mind, as a man 68 years of age, I look at the history of what made us great. What made us great was liberty, freedom, self-reliance, hard work, and faith. Those things made us great. And we've taken self-reliance totally away. 52% of Americans now get a check from the federal government. All right, so we've taken self-reliance away. We've said you don't have to work hard, especially.
Right. See, my number one is, you have a good work ethic, and
you'll accomplish tons.
It's unbelievable.
That's right.
Then if you just have an average education, you will be surprised at the results.
Yeah. And if you say, I'll be patient to get what I want by working hard and maybe saving in advance rather than borrowing against the future. You know, we've taught people in this country is you don't have to be responsible financially, too. You know, we got you out there. You got an 8.5-year auto loan. Give me a break.
You don't even have a car at 8.5 years. Yeah. Unless you really take it.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm the only guy in town with an 8-year-old car.
Well, it's a big town, Boone. Well, so anyhow, here's the point I make. We don't have any problems we can't fix. We don't have the leadership to fix them. And just you talked about your friend Harry Reid. The president had in 2008 60 votes in the Senate. Harry Reid got to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, because he had the votes to do it. And then 2010 he didn't. But he ran the Senate like he did. And so he's actually destroyed the Senate because he didn't like not having a supermajority anymore. And so now, even though Republicans are in charge, the whole thing's at loggerheads because he still thinks he's got 60 votes. And, you know, people who...
But you're crossing over from one side to another in the Senate is almost unheard of now.
What you mean? Well, but look, let me tell you something. I passed more bipartisan legislation than you can shake a stick at. And okay. I was known as Dr. No. Right?
Of course.
But I would go out and say, I'm not going to do this. Here's what you have to change if you want to get me to go along. I'd go aggressively say, okay, we got to solve this, but let's do this and this plus what you want to do, and then we don't step on the Constitution, and we don't spend money we don't have. And you know what? We got a lot of stuff passed. But I also stopped hundreds and hundreds of billions of stuff that wasn't paid for and is no business of the federal government. And that's what they didn't like. Because a career of a politician's way to get reelected is to spend money, people's money, in ways that they think benefit them. That benefit the people and the politician.
Yeah, they think, I believe they passed legislation believing they're helping almost everybody.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And it doesn't turn out that way every time.
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier. They don't have a thimble full of common sense because they've never done anything in life except politics.
I agree.
So it makes it hard. But there are solutions for it. We can fix these things. That we're not lost. Our founders gave us a great way to fix it. And what we got to do is do it.
But you got to do it through leadership.
You got to do it through leadership. That's why I'm out around the country.
Yep.
You know,
I know.
I was in the Commonwealth of Virginia House of Delegates yesterday working on these issues.
Well, you understand them, and if that's the role that you have assumed and you're capable of carrying it out, hats off to you, Tom Coburn from Muskogee, Oklahoma.
We're going to do it. We're going to have a convention of the states. We're going to put limitations on the federal government. We're going to say you have to have a balanced budget with generally accepted accounting principles. You can no longer borrow from our kids and not have to make hard choices. We're going to say you're going to have term limits. And we're going to say if you're going to pass a law through an agency, we're going to have the members of Congress vote on that. And oh, by the way, if the Supreme Court comes out with some wacky ruling that the vast majority of people in this country disagree with, if 30 states say that's a wacky ruling, it doesn't count anymore.
Now you're back to Obama. Healthcare. That would have stopped that.
Well, but, you know, it's even worse than that. Because what we have is one person in a black robe on critical issues in this country now deciding for all of us. And the real question is, who decides my liberty? Is it me? Is it people in Washington? Or is it one guy in a black robe? Or is it God, my God-given right to have liberty and freedom? And why should anybody be taking that away from me? And so the answer is let's go back legally and do what we can do that our founders gave us a way to fix.
But you've got a way to do that.
Yes, sir. And here's the details of it. What they wrote, this is the only thing that our founders had that wasn't controversial, that wasn't 100% unanimous. This was 100% unanimous. If 2/3 of the states feel they need to have a convention of the states to modify the Constitution, it is called. No governors involved, no judges involved, just the state legislatures. It's a joint resolution. If they do that, the only role Congress has in that is saying where and when they'll have the meeting.
That's all?
That's all. That's the only thing they get to decide. What comes out of there, all 50 states go, whether they pass one of the 34 or not, is simply a recommendation to the other states. We think we ought to modify the Constitution that way. Our founders said 3/4 then of the states have to approve that. That's 38 states. That's a super high bar. So there's no risk that we're going to lose anything in doing this, because all it takes is 13 judiciary chairmen of either a House or Senate in the 50 states to say we're not taking it up, and it doesn't happen.
When do you think this can
think
be
accomplished? I think we will be at about 21 states at the end of this year. I think we'll probably be at 30 at the end of next year. So I think in 2018 we will have 34, and you'll see a convention of the states. And it'll take about 6 months of hard meetings between the delegates that go. And there's no risk that your delegate will come, because you can pass a delegate limitation amendment that makes if they vote outside of what the application was or what the state instructions are, it's a felony. They go to jail. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ways to put controls on this so that there's no downside risk.
You know, you know what's wrong with this idea? 2018, we can get this done. I'll be 90 years old.
Well, listen, if I was sitting where you are and I was going to be 90, I'll never make it to 90, but if I was going to be 90, I'd be saying, hooray.
Well, I want you to keep moving it faster all the time.
We are. We have 1,200,000 people following us on Facebook. We have 640,000 volunteers. We have a precinct. We have a captain in 3,100 of the 4,200 legislative districts in the United States already. By the time this happens, we'll have 4.5 million on Facebook. We'll have 2.5 million volunteers, and we'll have a precinct captain in every legislative district. Every precinct will have a captain, and we'll have a volunteer of Americans that get their freedom back.
Okay.
We're going to do it.
I think you will. And hats off to you, Tom Coburn.
Thank you.